O Lord, let my soul rise up to meet you as the day rises to meet the sun. Thank you, Donna, and thank you, Cynthia. This morning we have some announcements. They're written in the bulletin. We have the tamale sale has been postponed till next week. They burned and don't taste right, so quality control says that we'll do it right and do it next week. There's always sign-ups. Getting ready for Fall Feast. If you haven't signed up for the registration, please do so. If your feet don't move fast enough, Carol Sage will find you to do some chore. So keep moving this morning. Are there any other announcements that need to be brought forth? One of the things that we did, oh yes, Debbie. Okay, great. We'll break 800 here pretty quick. Any other announcements? There is a sign-up sheet in your pew. Please take a second this morning, sign that, pass it across. Make sure it gives us a little chance to see who's there. One of the things that we do in this congregation, it may be from an outsider looking in, more of a social type activity, but when we stand and greet each other, it's an ancient tradition called passing the peace. So at this time, let's stand, greet each other, and pass a little peace. opening hymn is number 16. Please join me in the call to worship. Come to worship this day that you may grow in Christ. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth, and to tell it in love.
We take our lead from Christ, the source of everything we do.
Christ keeps us in step with each other. Please join me in invocation. This morning I'm going to read from a book called Jesus Calling. It's written in the context that Jesus is talking to us. This says, "You are on the right path. Listen more to me and less to your doubts. I am leading you along the way I designed just for you. Therefore, it is a lonely way, humanly speaking. But I go before you as well as alongside you, so you are never alone. Do not expect anyone to fully understand my ways with you any more than you can comprehend my dealings with others. I am revealing to you the path of life day by day and moment by moment. As I said to my disciple Peter, so I repeat to you, follow me." In that light, Jesus taught us to pray to our God, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
You may be seated. For our children's time this morning, the plan is to have the children who are at VBS help lead us in a song. It looks to me like it's just Mackenzie and Natalie today. Oh, yay, they're in the back. I didn't see them, but they weren't at VBS. Do you guys want to come down anyway? We'll kind of learn the song together. Colin and Max were out of town when we had Vacation Bible School this year, and they're coming up with Delilah. If Mackenzie and Daddy want to come, they'll come too. So Rick is going to put up on the screen the words for a song that we sang at Vacation Bible School and Worship on the Mountain. We're going to sing with the recording, so it's okay if you don't really know the music. But the refrain says, I want to clap my hands, stomp my feet, pound on a drum. You can pound your legs like it's a drum. And then when it says swing on a tree, you make motions like you're climbing a tree, and you put your hands in the air and say, wee! You can just kind of picture Joan McNamara leading that if you've been here when Joan leads it for us. I am so free because the Father loves me. So why don't you guys stand up? And Max, I know you can read, so if you want to look at the words, you're welcome to turn around, or you can look at folks. This is the refrain, so we'll do it a couple times, and by the time we get to the end, we'll know it. Okay. Rick, if you'd start the music.
The Father loves me. The Father loves me.
Did an excellent job just learning the song this morning. And we're thankful that Mackenzie was here to swing on a tree. Let's close with a prayer. Oh God, we are free because you love us. Whatever we do, climbing trees and pounding drums, clapping our hands and stomping our feet, you love us. Lord, when we play and when we work and when we rest, you love us. Thank you, God. We love you, too. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. It's great to see you guys. Ready? So Joan McNamara would ask, who are the children of God? We are. We all are, no matter our age. We are so thankful and blessed to have the children with us. Delilah, I think they went that way. Back with mommy. As the children are finding their way either to be with their families for the rest of worship or to go to children's church today, I would draw your attention to the back of the bulletin where we have some prayer concerns listed. And as we lift these up, I encourage you to take a prayer card from the pew rack in front of you. There's a postcard with a picture of the church on one side. The other side is blank, so you can write a note to someone who needs to know you're praying for them today. You can either deliver that personally or put it in the offering tray, and we will send them to members of the church for you. Our card shower this morning is for Wanda Leeling. Wanda has been in the hospital a few days this week. She had kidney stents put in yesterday. Prayers of healing for her. Billy Triplett was also at Wyoming Medical Center. He had a heart cath. Friday morning, prayers of healing for Billy. And Melanie White, Paul Smith's wife, is still there as well. She's had a little bit of internal bleeding following a surgery. He's hoping she'll get to be released on Tuesday. Prayers for Melanie. Jean Buck is home after a short time at Poplar to do a little rehab. Pat and Jean are thankful for your prayers. A prayer of joy to share. Diane Lynn and Steve Frame celebrated wedding vows yesterday on the mountain. Congratulations to Diane Lynn Frame and her husband, Steve. Please continue to pray for Amber French. The brain stimulation treatments she's been having this week seem to be offering some gradual improvement. For a while, she had no appetite and was not eating at all. She is trying to eat healthy foods now. And if anyone wants to prepare a small meal for Amber, she's just one person. She doesn't need a whole casserole. But if you're fixing a healthy dinner for your family and you'd like to fix one plate of food for Amber, please contact Martha Wallace, and Martha will help coordinate delivery of meals for Amber. She's also scheduling rides. It's good for Amber to get out in the evenings, like 6:30 or 7 seems to be a good time of day for her, just to get out of the house and go for a ride or a walk. So you can talk with Martha for further details on that. We continue to pray for Frankie Peterson, who is struggling with liver issues, and for Tricia Nichols for a knee surgery coming up. Our community and world concerns include the missionaries Jayanthi and Jim Wilson, who serve in South Africa. Fires on the West Coast, floods on the East Coast, prayers for all of those who are affected by natural disasters or by violence in their communities. Our regional prayer partners today are the members of First Christian Church in Rocky Ford. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary. You're encouraged to sign and send greetings. Their pastor is John Dell. We pray for John and his wife Sandy, as well as for the church. Are there other additions today to our prayer list? Rick. Prayers for the Glasspool family and for Terry's mom while she's awaiting tests. Michelle. Safe travel for Michelle's sister flying from England. Charles.
Prayers for the congregation of First Methodists and their senior pastor, Steve, who is struggling through some personal
issues. Prayers for Pastor Brian at First Methodist and the congregation. Jim. Prayers Prayers for Jim's mom, who may have cancer. Debbie. Prayers for the homeless in our community. Prayers for one who was killed this week. Prayers for Debbie's neighbor, Bill, who fell and is weak. I think there was another hand up. Belle. Prayers for Buzz, strength for his heart, prayers that bleeding is under control and he'll be released on Monday. Paul.
Prayers for our organist, Donna McIntyre, and her husband, Wayne, as they tour South America from east to west, or west to east this week.
Prayers for the McIntyres as they travel in South America, that it might be a joyous time of exploration and a safe journey so that you come home to us soon. Let us bring all of these prayers to the Lord in a time of shared silence. Amazing Almighty God, you are the creator of all that is. You are the creator of all that is good, of life itself. O God, you cast the stars across the heavens. You are the composer of the universe's song. You paint with every color in the palette of morning light on blooming flowers in the garden. You teach the pronghorn to run. You are there when meteor showers streak across the skies and when newborn babies take their first breath. Lord, we thank you for all the gifts of life. We pray this day for each one that we have named and those we hold in our hearts. Lord, for patients at the Wyoming Medical Center, we pray, including Wanda, Billy, Melanie. We pray for doctors and nurses and medical staff and the care they give to bring your healing. Lord, we pray for Bill, who fell this week and is weak. We pray for Buzz, that he might come home from the hospital tomorrow. We ask for healing for his heart. God, we join with Jim Oliver in praying for his mom. We pray for Terry's mom. We lift to you prayers for Jean, rejoicing that he is home. For Amber, thankful that she is beginning to improve, but God, we know it is a long, struggling journey as she deals with depression and anxiety, and so we pray for ways that our church might support her. But God, we ask you to watch over Frankie as she struggles with liver illness and becomes weaker. God, who made all the world, we pray for those who are blessed to travel and ask for safe journeys. For Michelle's sister flying from London to Florida and then to Denver. for Donna and Wayne as they go to South America. Lord, we pray for those who journey through life in challenging circumstances. We pray for neighbors who are homeless. We pray for Pastor Brian at First Methodist Church as he struggles with personal issues, and we ask your strength for his congregation. Lord, be with Dianthe and Jim Wilson as they serve in South Africa, and may your blessing be upon ministers and missionaries all the world over. We pray for Pastor John Dell, his wife Sandy, and all the members of First Christian in Rocky Ford, that their ministry might be strong and sure and faithful to you. For those who are affected by fires and floods, we pray for hope and recovery. Oh God, in all the prayers that we name and those we hold in silence in our hearts, we are thankful that you are present, attending to the needs of your children and calling us to care for one another as Christ's body. In Jesus' name, amen.
At this time we prepare for communion. One thing about our denomination is that everyone is included. So as you come forward, you'll have your choice of bread and juice by intinction or by the trays. And if you can't make it forward, somebody will bring you communion. At the same time, we have placed two offering trays up front, and you can drop off your prayer cards and your offering. If you desire at the same time, there is a tray in the back as well if you forget to take it with you and need to drop it off on the way out. At this time, let's take a second for another prayer. Loving God, through your goodness, we have this bread and juice to offer, which has come forth from the earth and human hands have made. May we know your presence in the sharing so that we may know your touch and presence in all things. We celebrate the life that Jesus has shared among his community throughout the centuries and shares with us now. Made one in Christ and one with each other, we offer these gifts and our gifts and wish them ourselves a single living act of praise. Amen.
We will sing number 425, Let Us Break Bread Together.
Thank you.
As we come to the table, we remember that night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. While they were there, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray."
O merciful God, in thanks we take communion, remembering Jesus in the upper room with his disciples. We call upon you to be present among us with the gift of your Spirit. May your holy presence be a strength to us in hours of need. In the drinking of the cup and the eating of the bread, we commit ourselves to a more effective Christian service. In prayerful quiet, we bring all that we have and all that we are, asking you to use us in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy be the bodies of those who know hunger. Sacred be the bodies of those who are broken. Blessed be the bodies of those who suffer. In your mercy and grace, soften our callous hearts and fill us with gratitude for all the gifts you have given us. In your love, break down the walls that separate us and guide us along your path of peace, that we might humbly worship you in spirit and in truth. Amen.
Our special music this morning will be a gift from Sydney Oliver. She will play Go Tell It on the Mountain on flute. And the people of God said,
Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, found on page 194 in your pew Bible. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love.
Our reading continues in Ephesians 4 at verse 22. You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourselves with the new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Sydney, for that gift of music. Donna, we are blessed to have you at the organ bench, and we do pray for safe travels as you head to South America. Will you pray with me? Oh Lord, we are blessed to receive your word. May it help to knit us together as the body of Christ, that we might continue to grow up into you, our head. Oh Lord, bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts. Bless us with understanding that we might draw near to you and our lives may be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This summer, the Revised Common Lectionary is leading us through the letter to the church at Ephesus. If you were here last Sunday, you heard some of these same verses from Ephesians 4 that talk about the different gifts the body of Christ has been given. Some are given gifts to be apostles and prophets and teachers. Some are given gifts to vacuum carpet and prepare communion, to visit the sick, to teach children and adults. All of us together are part of the body of Christ. This morning, we return to those same verses to hear another nuance. Speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. So we, as the body of Christ, not just this congregation, but the universal body of Christ, all Christians of different traditions, all of us as the body of Christ are in the process of growing up. We're in the process of catching up with Christ, who is our head. Just thinking about that simple verse struck me this week with an image that comes from social media. If you're on Facebook or occasionally have friends who send you YouTube videos, you may have seen it. It's a little video clip, just a couple seconds long. It's a picture of a puppy. This particular puppy is so small and his head is so big that when he goes to eat his food, he kind of tips forward into his plate and his little back legs go up in the air. With every bite he takes, he leans forward. His head is bigger than his body. He can't even balance himself. Sometimes puppies have huge paws that they have to grow into. Their feet are so big, and they're a little bit clumsy when they learn to run, and then as they grow, they kind of catch up with their feet. Sometimes that even happens to teenage boys. One morning you wake up and look at your teenage son, and it's as if he needs tennis shoes size 15, but he isn't that tall yet. and then he has a growth spurt, and his body catches up with his feet. Sometimes the church goes through growth spurts. Sometimes we're not quite as big or as mature in our faith as we should be, and so we stumble along the way. But we're in the process of growing up into our head, into Christ. The Message says it this way. We will not tolerate being babes in the woods, small children. God wants us to grow up to know the whole truth and tell it in love like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. We are in the process of growing up, of becoming more robust in our love for the world, our love for God, our love for one another. The writer of Ephesians instructs us to do this in a specific way by leaving behind our old life, our old self, and putting on the new life. Surely you have heard about Jesus. You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, to clothe yourselves with the new self, created according to the likeness of God. In the Greek, this text uses language related to changing your clothes. It's as if you have the image before you of working in a garden. You're getting muddy and sweaty, or maybe you've gone to the gym in your old worn-out workout clothes. You've worked up a good sweat, and now it's time for you to go to church or to go to work. And so you strip off those old sweaty clothes and put on a new, clean outfit. In the Christian walk, we're called to strip off what is dirty, what is sinful, what clings to us and weights us down, to let go of it. There's almost a little bit of violence in the language, to rip off the old and to clothe ourselves with the new. But that clothing isn't just about an outer appearance. It's about the very essence of who we are and how we are called to live. We are called to put away falsehood and to speak the truth in love. In verse 25, it says, "Let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another." We are called to speak the truth in love, and we are called to speak the truth about the saving grace we have in Jesus Christ, to share with others the good news that Jesus has come to earth to save us from our sins. Grow up in robust love. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children." One of the ways in which children learn and grow up is through imitation. Picture a classroom of preschoolers or maybe early elementary children. Teacher is up front giving a simple class lesson. Teacher takes a piece of paper and folds it from corner to corner and says, "Now, children, fold your paper like this." About 70% of the kids are paying attention, and they fold their paper corner to corner, but there are a few who fold edge to edge, and then there's that one little guy in the back row who's already crumpled his up. Who knows what he was doing? And so teacher patiently hands out a new piece of paper and says, "Billy, like this, corner to corner," and he watches and imitates the movement and learns. As young children, we imitate our parents, and we learn from them of how to interact with the world. One of my favorite photographs of my father shows him working out in the yard. He'd actually been up on the roof of Mom and Dad's house doing some repair work, and he'd just climbed down a ladder. He's wearing a worker's belt around him and has a hammer hanging on the side. He's holding a handful of nails. And standing next to him is my nephew, Joshua, his grandson, Josh, who's also standing in the backyard with a big grin on his face, wearing a tool belt with on the side a play school hammer. And he's holding a handful of real nails that Grandpa just gave him. Both of them are grinning big. It's one of my favorite pictures of my dad. One of my favorite pictures of Josh, my nephew, was taken a few years later. He was in elementary school at that point. Josh is now a full-grown man with a child of his own. But at that time, the photo I love, he's in the kitchen learning to imitate not his grandfather, but his mother. Debbie was baking cookies, and Josh loved cookies. And Josh learned to love to bake and to cook. And on this particular day, they had been making a big batch of cookies together. And you can tell on the kitchen counter, there's an open carton of eggs. There's flour spread everywhere. It turns out that Josh had kind of hit the high button on the mixer before he was supposed to. But he said, "Mom, don't worry, I got it covered." He ran down the hall, found his swim goggles, and came back to the kitchen and put them on. So I have a picture of Josh with an apron and swim goggles, grinning big as he's learning to bake. We learn by watching carefully those who have gone before us, and by imitating, by copying, by repeating their lives. As Christians, we learn from Christ. We read the stories of Scripture, and we see Jesus feeding the hungry, so we learn to feed the hungry. We see Jesus teaching and healing and praying, and so we pray, and we work to bring healing to a broken world. Children are imitators of their parents, not just because they watch and copy what they do, but there is a little bit of that parent within that child. There's an essence that is passed on and handed down from one generation to the next. Maybe there's a passion you have that you learned from a mother or a father or a grandparent, from someone who was significant in your life. As part of God's family, we are imitators of the one from whom we have an inheritance. We're in the process of growing up into Christ-likeness, not just to copy Christ, but to let Christ actually be in us, to be present in the world through us. Going back to Ephesians 5, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." In the ancient temple, there were specific sacrifices that were prescribed, specific ways of offering prayer. One of the ancient practices of prayer for people of God is to give an incense offering. Even today, in some faith traditions, you don't just light a candle, but you light an aromatic resin. There are Catholic churches, if you go visit an ancient cathedral where prayers have been given for generations, that frankincense has been lit over and over and over, and the smoke that rises from those prayers has soaked into the tapestries. So when you walk in the door, there's a certain aroma. There's a smell to that place. Well, when I read Ephesians 5:2, about how Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God, it makes me wonder if perhaps Christianity itself has a certain fragrance, a certain aroma. What does it smell like to be a follower of Jesus? Maybe there is just a hint of a spiritual aroma about your life when you continue to strip off the sin and leave it behind and be clean and forgiven in Christ. Maybe that smell is a little bit like baked bread. Broken at the table, but also broken at a homeless shelter to feed someone who is hungry. when we get to heaven, I wonder what it will smell like. Every once in a while, it doesn't happen every week, but every once in a while, standing at the communion table, if the fans are going just the certain way and the tray is placed in just a certain place, when the elder lifts the lid, I smell the grape juice. I smell the communion. It's as if that aroma of our emblem of Jesus' blood has been captured under the lid, and then when it's lifted up, it's set free. I wonder, does heaven smell like grape juice or wine? Does heaven smell like baked bread and incense? Does heaven smell like joy on a fresh spring day? What spiritual aroma is there to your life? A couple times this week, I was visiting in homes of members of the church who happen to have dogs. And anytime I visit somebody's house who has a puppy, I'm always greeted at the door with a nose exploring my shoes, because at my house there's a dog. And somehow, when you travel from one dog home to another dog home, there's this scent. It's not that my feet really smell like my dog, at least not to me. But if your nose is tuned in just right, and you're a Boston Terrier, you can tell that the person visiting you has an American Staffy, and you kind of sent the message being carried back and forth. And then when I return home, my dog Brett returns the favor by sniffing to see, "Mom, who did you talk to today? Oh, you went to that house where the golden retriever lives, didn't you?" I wonder, are there people in this world who spiritually are so in tune with God that they can smell God's love, that they can recognize at a distance the fragrance of a follower of Christ because they see this person feeding the hungry and healing the sick and visiting the imprisoned, and they smell God's love clinging to your shoes because of where you've walked? I wonder, what does God's love smell like? If genetically we're connected through Christ to the creator of the universe, there's just a little bit of God's spiritual DNA in each one of us. And when we nurture it and we work together, being kind to one another, speaking the truth in love, growing up in the head of Christ, that aroma grows too. Because to be an imitator of God is not just to copy, but actually to embody the very presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. This week, my friends, may you heed the teaching that was written to the church at Ephesus and grow up at least a little bit more in your faith so that you embody robust love. And perhaps, just perhaps, you smell a little bit like Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn today is Renew Your Church, number 463. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4. If there's anyone here today who longs to give your heart to Jesus for the first time or needs to renew your faith in God, you're invited to come forward. If you're looking for a church home, we welcome you here by confession of faith and baptism or transfer of membership. Let us stand and sing. A reminder to the Wills Trust and Memorials Committee that you are meeting today. Please pray for those who are applying for scholarships. There is a time of fellowship waiting for us downstairs in Fellowship Hall. There's coffee and refreshments. I hope everyone will stay for a few moments to greet one another, welcome visitors, and enjoy the gift of Christian fellowship. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. O Lord, send us forth with hearts renewed, lives stirred by your word, that we might be imitators, indeed embodiers of you, O Christ, as we continue to grow up in the faith. Bless us, Lord, to live, to love, to serve. In the name of Jesus, amen.